God sees more in you than you see in yourself. I'm going to repeat that. God sees more in you than you see in yourself. And that is good news. When we flip through the pages of Scripture, we see time and time again flawed people. We see people who don't have much to offer. That is, until they encounter the living God, and with His help, they develop gifts and callings that they never would have expected. Well, let's face it, I'm one of those people too. If you've been coming here long enough, or if you're related to me, you know it. It took me a long time and a lot of Jesus to get to where I am today, and a very loving and gracious wife who still supports me. But I'll never forget the moment that I had hit rock bottom, and I was in agony over some of the choices and decisions I had been making and had made in the past. And believe it or not, I was sitting in my pastor's office screaming at him. I don't know why I chose to go to his office, but I was there just screaming and confessing how badly I had messed things up. And I remember sitting there feeling like a total failure. I just poured out all my mistakes, all my doubts, all my struggles, and I was waiting for judgment. I was waiting for disappointment and for him to say, "Yeah, you're pretty messed up." But instead, he simply stood up, he came over to me, and he wrapped his arms around me, and he cried with me. And then he looked at me and he smiled and he said, "Kevin, God is at work within you." And I was just like, what? Didn't you just hear all the junk I confessed? And he said, "Yeah, but that's how I know God is working. Because he's not letting you stay there. He's helping you fight. And he has a purpose for you." And today, that's exactly what Jesus wants to do in each and every one of you, is to remind you and to show you that you have a purpose. And he's inviting you to follow him and find your purpose in him. As we keep saying, we're going to be celebrating two young lives stepping into the waters of baptism to publicly declare their faith in Jesus. And we're going to be celebrating this inner transformation and a public testimony. And they're telling the world that I belong to Jesus. I want my friends and family and church family and the world to know that I am a follower of the way. And my prayer is that through the faith and witness of these two kids today, that you too will be challenged to live out your faith in a way that points others to Jesus. Last week, we started this new message series called Discovering the Way, and it's walking us through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7. And it's one of the best sermons by the wisest human who ever lived. And we began our series by looking at the end of Jesus' message, where he says there's only two ways. He doesn't allow ambiguity. He just says there's a broad way and there's a narrow way. Which path are you on? So today, we're going to move back to the beginning of his message now. And we're going to look at what it means to be his followers in the world, and how to live a life of witness, and how to ensure we're following his narrow way. So this is what Jesus says at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." This passage is at the heart of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, a Christian, a follower of the way. Jesus doesn't say, "Try to be the light of the world." No, he says, "You are the light of the world." As a follower of Jesus, you have a light inside you that you need to let shine. And not just you individually, but all of us. When Jesus uses the words "you are," it's plural, meaning y'all. Y'all are the light of the world. Jesus is talking about all of us, the community of believers, the church. And as followers of Jesus, and in our life together as the church, we have a collective identity. And we see this from the beginning of the Bible to the end, that God is not interested in simply rescuing individuals. He is at work forming a new community, a new family. And this is why the gospel isn't just good news for me and for you, it's good news for the world. But here's the surprise. Jesus' disciples have just entered the scene. Like, he's just called them together and said, follow me. And now he's telling them, you are the light of the world. They're at the very start of their journey. Jesus doesn't say, you will be the salt and light when I'm done with you. He doesn't say, you have salt and light. Or he doesn't say, you must be salt and light. He says, you are the salt and light. Jesus is calling out the very best in his disciples before they've even done anything. And I love that. Because that's exactly what he does for you and for me as well. You have so much more to offer than you think, because you are made in God's image and you are infused with gifts and a purpose from your Creator. Jesus is essentially saying, you have more to offer than you think because you're so much more than you can imagine. Does anyone remember the movie The Help? It was a pretty popular one a while back, about two black maids during the civil rights movement. Abilene, a maid and nanny, says to the child she cares for every day, you is kind, you is smart, and you is important.
You is kind, you is smart, you is important. You is smart, you is kind. You is important. Oh, that's so good.
Throughout the movie, the mother of that child continues to ignore and dismiss her child. Yet every day, she hears those life-shaping words. You is kind, you is smart, you is important. Well, at the start of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he reinforces the identity of his followers. To this small, eclectic band of followers who live in the shadows of the Roman Empire, Jesus is reminding them of their great purpose in this world. So if I can have a little fun with it, I believe Jesus looks into their eyes, looks into ours, and he says, you is salt, you is light, you is important. So what does Jesus mean? Well, let's first talk about what being salt means. In Jesus' day, salt was a valuable commodity. In fact, in the surrounding Roman Empire, it played a significant role in commerce. So an author of a book called Salt, A World History, sounds fascinating, he wrote this, the Roman army required salt for its soldiers and for its horses and livestock. At times, soldiers were even paid in salt, which was the origin of the word salary and the expression worth his salt or earning his salt. In fact, the Latin word sal became the French word solde, meaning pay, which is the original of the word soldier. This is how important salt was. So when Jesus is using this metaphor, they understood it. His listeners understood what he was saying. And he uses it to draw out two implications. First, salt seasons. It brings out the flavors in food, and it makes it more enjoyable. Think about the best meal you've ever had, when the seasoning's just right and every bite is just full of flavor. That's what salt does. It brings that flavor up. But now think of those times when you went through the McDonald's drive-thru and they forgot to put salt on their fries. Ah, it's bland. It's boring. It's kind of lifeless. So when Jesus tells his followers they're salty, he's saying your presence in the world should bring out the best in others. Your words, your kindness, your faith, it should make life richer, fuller, better. But sometimes we struggle with this. Sometimes we either underseason, we're not salty enough, we distance ourselves from the world, or sometimes we overseason. And we try to dominate the world and enforce our way of life. But simply put, as you put Jesus first in your life, just be you and let his light shine. The second implication is that salt sustains. Long before refrigerators and freezers, salt was the main thing used to preserve food from decay and corruption. Well, this is the task that Jesus gives you and me as well. His disciples were told to work for the preservation of the world. We're called to combat the decay of a broken world with the salt of our presence. So whether it's racism or poverty or gossip or relational dysfunction or something else, Jesus calls us to preserve the good that exists. And because Jesus sees so much potential in his disciples and in us, he uses another metaphor to describe our witness in the world. Jesus calls us, he calls you, followers of Jesus, the light of the world. And he doesn't say that you could be. He announces the good news from the very beginning. Jesus wants you to see yourself the way that he sees you. And I don't know about you, but I love this. In the Old Testament, Isaiah prophesied, "I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." And then Jesus looks into the eyes of this ragtag community, and he says, "You are that light. What's been prophesied hundreds of years ago, you are that light." Now, of course, we know that Jesus is the true source of light. In John 8:12, he says, "I am the light of the world." But remarkably, he gives us the exact same title. Just as the moon reflects the light of the sun, Jesus is the source of light that we then reflect to the dark world to help scatter the darkness. The rest of John 8:12 says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And in fact, we talked about this just this past week with our junior youth at our Noodle Mania event. We began by sharing moments where we experienced darkness, and the kids shared stories ranging from playing hide-and-go-seek in the dark to camping to one girl exploring a dark cave in the Dominican. And we shared how these moments of darkness can make us feel lost, unsure, or even a little scared. So then what we did, we were downstairs in the basement, we turned off all the lights. And then we lit a small candle. And suddenly, just by adding a small light, everything changed. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. This is how he's telling us to live. He's saying, "You are the light of the world, so shine bright." Why? Well, because light stands out. You're meant to stand in, not to blend in. You're called to be different, to walk the narrow path of Jesus, follow his way. And when you turn on a light in a dark room, even if it's just a small light, suddenly everything changes. You can see. And Jesus says, "You're that light." When you walk into a dark room, you bring that light with you. I remember when my family first moved to Bidlar. And I was driving home one night, and I noticed that no one on our street had their front porch light on. Like, it was just black, other than the street lights. And I remember how strange it felt. Like, I'm like, why does no one have their light on? And from that night on, Amanda and I have always kept our front porch light on all night. And even though it's kind of, when I'm coming home at night and I turn onto our street, our little light shines out like a beacon. And I want people to know that, hey, if you're in trouble, come to our house. The light is on. There's warmth. There's safety. An added bonus, we haven't been robbed yet. But this is what Jesus calls us to be. The light that stands out in the dark, even when we feel small. And as an added, or even when we feel like we don't have much to offer, the light that we do have within us, it matters. Jesus says a town on a hill cannot be hidden, because there's light, and the light stands out. Jesus also says that while people don't light a candle simply to cover it, well, that's because light also helps others see. So you place it on a stand so that it will illuminate everything around you, so others can be drawn to it. And as I lit that small candle the other night, it didn't just allow me to see better, it helped all of us to see. And what I loved in that moment is all the kids, without saying anything, came toward that little candle that I had on the floor in the basement. They all put their hands in, asked to blow it out. But they were drawn to this light. There was a brightness and a warmth. And you see, the same is true with our actions, our kindness, the way we treat others. It helps people see who God is. And I truly believe that when people see the light in us, they are drawn to it. They want to know more. They want to understand. They want to experience it for themselves because they witness something different. Not only does light make things visible and reveal things that would otherwise be hidden, light helps people find their way to God. And that's what I love about these kids who are going to stand up here this morning and share their faith in Jesus, because I want what they have. They have that childlike faith, and it spurs me on. Their witness lets others see who God is. We have such a sacred calling, and we have to take it seriously. We also have to be careful with the light that we shine on others, because light can also be used to blind people and not lead people. And what I mean is this. Well, I was telling my family recently when we were away about the time that I was playing with their camera as a kid. It was the ones that came with these external bulbs that would heat up and flash. And I remember one night, I don't know why I did this, but I put the bulb right up against my left eye and I hit the button. And I lost sight. I couldn't see. So naturally, I put it on my right eye and did it again. I don't know why I did that. Luckily, my eyesight came back. I can see. But I share this because sometimes it's easier for Christians to shine our light on bad behavior, to focus on things and the wrongs in others, rather than shining our light where it should be, on the Heavenly Father. That's what we ought to shine the light on. So let's not shine our light as a way to shame and condemn others, but let's shine our light as a way to glorify God and help others find their way to Him. Because light gives life. Jesus is calling out the best in us. If you can just picture a plant sitting in a dark corner, no sunlight, no warmth, no life, you know what happens. It starts to wither. It starts to die. The leaves droop and it starts turning brown. But the moment you bring it into the sunlight, everything starts changing. It perks back up. It stretches toward the light. It grows. It thrives. And this is not only what Jesus does for us, but is also what Jesus calls us to be. When we shine His light, we bring life to the people around us. That's why people are drawn to it. They want that life. Followers of Christ, we have one main objective, to glorify God and display His character. And sure, that might feel overwhelming or unattainable, but Jesus believes it can be done through you. And if He believes it, then I believe it. So what does this mean for us? Well, Jesus expects us to be present in places where darkness exists. It's here where we're called to shine light. And I know this causes fear sometimes, because we don't want to be contaminated by the world. We don't want the darkness to consume us. But if you're reading the same Bible that I'm reading, Jesus constantly moved closer to the people the religious leaders stood apart from. Jesus moved toward those with diseases and bad reputations, the demon-possessed, all types of sinners. And this is the very nature of the incarnation. God moved toward us in love to give us life and life to the full. He didn't avoid places of darkness. Rather, He moved into the neighborhood to dwell among us. So our job description as a light in a dark world is to do the same, to bring His light where it's needed most. Jesus prays in John 17:15, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." To be a light in the world requires us to be deeply present, but radically different. So let me ask you one final question. How can you shine? Because Jesus calls us to be a light wherever we are, not just in church, not just on Sundays, but in our everyday lives. So here are three simple ways that you can do that. First, live differently. The way you live should reflect Jesus in the world. In a world that often walks in darkness, You should be the one bringing that light. When everyone else is gossiping about a classmate or coworker, you choose to speak kindness. When others are going along with the crowd, you stand firm in what's right on the narrow path. And when you fall or mess up, instead of hiding it, you model grace, repentance, growth. Second way to shine bright, serve faithfully. Your light shines when you put others before yourself and love them like Jesus. We know the greatest commandment is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as yourself. Serve them like Jesus. Help a friend who's struggling. Rather than just saying, oh, I'll pray for you, actually pray for them right then and there. Take time to listen to someone who feels unseen. Sometimes just being present is a powerful gift. Find a way to serve in your church community or community at large. Even small acts of service make a huge impact. And third, speak boldly. We don't just shine by what we do, we also shine by what we say. When someone asks you why you live differently, don't be afraid to share the faith that you have in Jesus. Don't be afraid to share what God is doing in your life. We're about to hear that from Kinsley and Mick in just a moment. And again, if you're going to pray for someone, do it right then and there. Pray boldly. If God has done something in your life, tell your story. Your testimony could be the light that someone needs to take their next step toward Jesus. The point is this. Your light isn't meant to be hidden. It's meant to shine. Not just for ourselves, but to glorify God. And as we do, we will discover the way through the narrow path to a meaningful life. And if you're sitting here today and you're thinking, man, I don't have that light in me. Maybe you feel like you're stuck in the dark or you wonder if Jesus actually sees you. Well, I want you to hear this. Jesus isn't waiting for you to be perfect. He's inviting you to step into the light and to follow him. Because when you do, everything changes. So with that being said, it's just about time to hear the testimonies of Kinsley and Nick, who are stepping into that light today and following Jesus in the waters of baptism, letting their light shine bright, declaring to the world, I belong to Jesus. So as we witness and celebrate the baptisms, let's go big. Let's cheer them on. Once they're dunked and they come back up representing new life, let's celebrate. And remember, our faith isn't meant to be private. It's meant to shine. So Jesus, help us to shine today. Give us the courage, like these kids are about to demonstrate, to live differently, to serve faithfully, and to boldly speak your truth. And God, for anyone here today who feels lost in darkness, I pray that today is the day they step into your light. God, we ask this in your name.